Player hater mode activated. In today's episode, we wrap up our conversation with the good old boys. And later, we check in with Corbin Macklin, who still ain't shit. So now without further hesitation, let's pick up where we left off, with the good old boys.
Yeah, now let me ask this question too, I appreciate that. Let me ask this question, since we touched on the topic briefly, about single moms, let me get you each one of your opinion about that. Like, if you feel comfortable, have you, will you, do you, are you dating a single mom?
I'm definitely in that situation at the moment, I guess you could say. In January, it'll become official, but, I'm a product of that scenario where my biological father wasn't there. My mom was raising me with the help of uncles, my grandfather, aunts, pretty much the whole community. And she ended up meeting a guy, and he married my mom and adopted me. So, I mean, just from that alone, I'm open to being involved in a relationship with a woman in her seed. I don't know if there's a limit on how many kids, but I think if you're interested in that woman, then I'm not sure if there's an amount that's too much or too little.
Right. And I think that's something that I think a lot of guys get involved with single moms and stuff, and they can't, they don't like dealing with the fact that, you know, well, she got these kids and stuff. Well, you know, everybody that's in our circle that has been involved in that situation, they took on those kids like they were their own. You know what I'm saying? Some of us, you know, put up basketball goals in the heat and shit like that for the kids and shit like that. And like, but I think that, you know, when you're dating a single mom, man, like it's a package, man. It's not just her, man. It's the whole package, and you got to be man enough to step up to the plate and do that, man. Like, but I don't see, like, I know a lot of women who have kids, man. They think that it's like some stigma against, you know, certain cats dating them and stuff. And, you know, I'm not one of those cats, man, that sees like anything wrong with dating a chick who got seeds, man. You know, because sometimes those seeds need you, sometimes those seeds need their real father. But I mean, if you into that chick, man, then you gonna take on those seeds like they're your own. Yeah, and niggas need to take care of their kids, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, like, I know we joke around and all this stuff, man, but I mean, it's our responsibility to lead this world in a better place, and leaving this world in a better place means raising our freaking kids, the next generation, to be productive adults, man. I mean, do your fucking part and raise your goddamn kid, man. That's all noble and everything. I appreciate your opinions on that. But can any of you understand if there is a dude out there, and there are tons of them out there, who may opt not to fuck with a chick who has kids because it can be an encumbrance? I mean, it's the hindrance to doing a lot of shit in a relationship. So could you somewhat understand each one of you, maybe a dude not wanting to fuck with a chick who's a single mom?
Trust me, I can understand. I mean, just showing up to the airport with the girl that you're involved with and seeing her ex-husband or soon-to-be ex-husband at the airport with the child waiting on her, yeah, that'll make you want to back off in a heartbeat. Trust
That's
me.
Not too strict.
I think that, you know, it is definitely extra baggage, and I definitely understand that. I know that you know, some you know, like what I call like our little brothers and stuff, man, they like 5-6 years younger than all of us, and they used to tell us all the time, like, oh man, how could you fuck with a chick that got kids, man, you know, stuff like that, man. And I said, you know, y'all like 21, 22 years old right now. When you reach about 25, 26, it's going to be hard to find chicks that don't have seeds. So you got to learn, go ahead and swallow that bullet right there, and then, you know, deal with chicks that got seeds. Otherwise, you're going to be dealing with young chicks the rest of your life.
Not like a pump, but chumpy pop and jump with dumb pesto. Sweating because I'm dreading this. Get ready to pull up pesto. I'm fixing shit, reaching, quicker to trick a stick. Get the send up, hurry up, bullet stick. And keep an eye blessing, reaping the pops. Stuff they pop, lots of mops. Head drops, dead flops. The top vegan, ready to lick the shots. Not ready to kick the pot, so wipe the flop, and then I vanish. Manage to escape out of skin of my teeth and say, feel pain and fear as I smear blood from bloodshots to the brain. Bump, bump, bump. Listen to the bullets hum as they buzz past your ears and begin drilling into your cranium. Not a gangbanger, cracklinger, never did hand a rep kit, yet sweated. Frequently see me in step with intent to kill, spilling your blood for your sins. Defends my livelihood cause rivals could bring into my youthful bliss, twisting a trigger gun and fist with bullets thrown by the organs in order to assist in your death. Your last breath having spasms as I tags them. The idea is demonic and the thought is surely sad and not a murderer. And showing the longevity of my life, pal. Live and let live, kill and fight, lust I stab.
I give it all I got, that's all I got to give. Yo, you gotta live and let live. I give it all I got, that's all I got to give. Yo, you gotta live and let live.
Damn, I wish that I can have bliss daily. Lately, I tried to speak my peace, but words fail me. I'm dwelling in the halls of a ball in sights of evil. I got to sweat the devil, plus I got to sweat my peace. Do I gotta blow them brains out to get them chains out your head? Them lacking mentally, a fence to be dead. Deceased, I gotta piece these, cause the beast be lurking up in them. So now I'm fucking them, it's stuck in them. The heron fits means tricks. You blunder when you blunder and tell me to run the kicks. You might trip and find it hard to swallow this, but follow this down the dark alley and you're catching hollow tips. You got your shit, I got mine, leave it at that. Respect to your thank me when I shake next. Cause clever dreads can sever heads. We don't like maybe think, but by let friends be easy. A law-abiding citizen, but shit, it's been long enough. Strong and tough, step this and you snuff. Snipe, step light, don't try to...
Right, no doubt. All right, so let me ask you guys this, because you're in the South and you're from the South, and I've had this discussion before, talking about, in quotation marks, country-ass dudes and philosophies and beliefs and shit like that. Not calling y'all country, but I'm just saying people from the South in general. I had this conversation about whooping a chick's ass. You know, to put it in a blunt way, but really just like hitting a chick. Like, with any of you guys, were you raised to like not hit women? Let's say if a woman hit you, if you had an argument or whatever, and she just flared up and hit you just out of the blue, what would your first reaction be? To walk away and just chalk it up to you being a man and not doing what you were taught not to do, or would you knock her the fuck out?
and they'll tell you, like, you know, just in real life and on the radio, man, like, I'm like, you know, don't ever put your hands on a woman type of nigga. And part of that is because I've seen aunts, my mother, you know, other women that meant something to me. I've seen them get beat down by dudes, man, like, you know, when I was a kid. And, you know, I wasn't raised to not put my hands on somebody. As much as I was like, you know, I developed that on my own, like, just seeing how devastating that shit could be, not just to the people that are involved, but the people surrounding those people. So, I've seen, like, you know, when I was in college, my roommate, his girl, she was trying to beat his ass. And she punched this nigga, like, twice, man. And I remember thinking, like, damn, man, I probably would end up, like, knocking her ass out. Because, you know, the reaction would be, like, to do that. But he didn't do anything. But he got punched so hard that second time, then he just grabbed her ass, let her know, you know, that he had the power as a man, and then it was over. I don't think she ever put her hands on him again, but he didn't do anything, like, violent to her. He just showed her his power. And I think that's strong enough to, like, you know, end up protecting yourself against a woman who's, like, become violent, man. But I think that when a chick gets violent, man, like, if you feel like your life is in danger, then you need to take her ass out.
I've never been put into a predicament where I would have to, you know, contemplate putting my hands on a woman. And, I mean, out of all of the circumstances where I probably was justified in doing so, I would channel my emotions in other ways. So, I'm not saying I'm against it, or for those that have been pushed into that corner to where they had to, I mean, I'm not the judgmental type, so that's about all I have to say on that.
Well, I'll be the bad guy here then and say that I am all for whipping a chick's ass, just like I'm all for whipping a man's ass, because I have a very low tolerance for stupidity, and I don't like that. I have a little bit different upbringing than D. Mario Washington, where he saw a man take control of a woman in a fight. I saw the complete opposite from a very early age. It just didn't make any sense to me to stand there and not hit a girl back if she was beating on me. And I remember telling my mother when I was in third grade, I said, "Hey, Mom, I just can't stand here and let a girl beat me up." And she said, "You don't put your hands on a woman. You don't beat up a woman." Well, okay, I'm in seventh grade, and I saw my man Stanley Bailey get into a fight at Fairfield Middle School. in Winsboro, South Carolina. I mean, this was a big girl, right? This was a big girl. And she had, this was back in the early 90s, so she had four finger rings on. She had mad rings on, right? But they got into a fight in the concourse, and she was dropping blows on this dude. I mean, taking chunks of skin out with the rings through his face. He was getting his ass whipped. And it wasn't until he decided, "Damn, I need to fight this girl like she's a man," that he took control of the fight. And then he put her down. And I saw that, and I said, she would have whipped his ass, man. It would have been real ugly if he didn't treat her like a man and defend himself like he was well within his rights. Then when I got to high school, I saw a gangster girl. This girl was the gangster girl on campus. She got into a fight with a little dude who was raised on that "you don't put your hands on a woman" kind of thing. And you know what happened? First thing she did was kick him in his nuts. And then when he dropped like a sack of potatoes. She stomped this dude out, just stomped on his face, and then ran his pockets and danced over his fallen body. And that changed me. I said, I can't stand here and just get my ass whipped by a girl just because she's a girl. I have to defend myself, and it's my right to do that as a human being. So I say, just don't be stupid. If a woman is beating on you and you need to defend yourself, you defend yourself just like you would to avert any kind of danger. And she shouldn't have put her hands on you. So just don't be stupid.
Hold on, though. You said that the nigga got beat down and he got his pockets ran?
He couldn't move. That's kind of bad right now. She put his testicles back up where they came from, and he couldn't move.
Police say last Friday night around 6, a 25-year-old woman was on Brevard Road headed toward I-40 East when another driver who seemed angry with her got her attention.
There was some horn blowing, some obscene gestures flying back and forth.
The woman says she and the man pulled over and he came at her aggressively, so she got out, and that's when he punched her repeatedly, knocking her to the ground. The victim says a woman riding with the man eventually pulled him off of her.
It could have ended very badly if he were to continue beating this woman.
Police say there's a lesson to learn here.
One of the worst things you could do is to get out of the vehicle and have this type of encounter alongside the road.
Instead, you're urged to avoid the other driver and call 911.
You're much better off to stay in your 3 or 4,000 pound vehicle and get away from the problems as safely as possible.
No doubt. Yo, so let's wrap it up on this, because I remember last time we talked, if not the last time, the one time we had spoken, there was one dude, now I would say it's Mario, but I could be wrong, but there was one dude who believed that and maybe you changed the way you feel about this whole thing I'm about to bring up, but back in the day, when we first spoke, somebody believed that it was okay to expect some pussy from a chick if they took out on a date and spent a little bit of money. Who was that?
That's my grand wit. That's what it sounds like.
It might have been me. Yeah, okay, it was me. I might have said that too,
but if I said it, it probably was on some, like, you know, trying to be funny type shit or something, maybe. I don't know.
All right, so it wasn't Mario, it was Grand Wiz. So, Grand Wiz, let me ask you, you still feel that way today, or have you changed a little bit?
I still feel the same way. It's because I've been on dates with women, man, and I've ended up spending $50, and I'm looking around like, you're just going to end this with a hug? The least you could do is you at least give me a kiss or something, man. I mean, at least give me some type of reassurance that I get some pussy later. But I feel like if a woman is taking advantage of the situation, then she definitely owes the man a little something. That's it.
Yeah. What about you other guys? I can remember how you said it.
I'm like, all right, they'll tell you I'm the nigga that'll like spend money and not expect anything in return. And I mean, we've been to bars and stuff, and I've bought drinks for chicks and never even go over and say hello to them and stuff like that. You know, I'll do stuff like that. So, nah, I don't. I don't have a problem with, like, you know, taking a chick out on a date and then nothing comes out. Because I might not have a good time on the date, you know?
How many times a day do you masturbate? Because I know it has to be a lot with that philosophy. It's got to be a lot.
I masturbate quite often, bro.
Well, see, there you go. Giving chicks, buying chicks drinks and not even saying hi and not expecting anything. I mean, if you have an expectation for greatness in life, then you have a greater chance of getting greatness than a person who doesn't. So if you have
But when you are drinking, so you're just having a good time, and you want other people around you to have a good time. That's all.
Well, I have an expectation for pussy, so I have a greater chance of getting pussy. That's what I feel that God has proceeded for a nigga in my case. That's what I feel. So I like to expect that, and then it will come true.
Well, with me, I think, like, before you even go out on a date, for me, most of the time, I have a pretty good idea of if I will eventually get the pussy. It may not be the first night, but, like, during the conversations that take place beforehand, you sort of get an idea of how quick she's going to give you the pussy or whether she's going to give it to you at all, whether you have to work hard or whether this is just a friendship thing. So I'm not really concerned about how many dates it's going to take or how much money I have to spend. It's just having a good time with someone that hopefully is enjoying themselves equally.
Mm-hmm. So conversely, let me ask you guys this, because I've experienced this multiple times. Have you ever had a chick who maybe paid for the date herself? You didn't have to go in pocket at all. And if that was the case, do you think maybe you should have given her some dick?
Beautiful. You're like in California or something, right? Because like we don't find chicks that like are willing to do that type of shit in the South too much. Like it's like, I guess you know the stereotypes of the South are like real, man. Like it's like Southern gents and Southern belles, and you know that the expectation of what a man is supposed to do for a chick is high in the South, bro. And I think I talked about this on episode of Jazz and Love, one of our other shows and stuff. And I was on there. Me and Larry P were on there talking about. She did a whole show about girls paying for the first date and stuff like that. And I never experienced it. And if I recall, I don't think Larry experienced it but once or twice. So like it's something that's a rare occurrence from people like us, I guess. I don't know about y'all, man, but I've had
it done with about two or three different women, but I didn't end up having sex with any of them unless we were already in a sexual relationship. So the ones that like this one chick, she took me to the movies and to Ruby Tuesday for my birthday, and I thought there was some sort of chemistry, but it wasn't really much on her end towards me, so it was pretty much that one occasion, and it was a wrap. And then the other girl, we're like co-workers, and we developed a friendship, so we would alternate, paying for the meals. And I could still tell there was some sort of sexual interest on both ends, but we just decided it was best to be just friends.
Yeah, I recently had this, and it played out exactly like you said. I went out on a date with a woman, and she was really interested in me. And she ended up paying for the meal and everything. And I did feel obligated to give her some dick, even though I wasn't as attracted to her as she was to me. I felt obligated because she paid for a lot of stuff, and I really appreciated that. So as you see, ladies, you know, when you pay for stuff, you now the person that you are obligated to give them something. So share and like, share and share alike with your pussy.
Yeah, I figured a brother like you will bring it home that kind of way, and that's why I tossed it out there like that.
Yeah, you can buy my dick, lady. Just do some meal, and you can purchase it. I'll even give you a receipt.
You are listening to the hottest relationship show in the country.
Quick shout out to our sponsor this evening, Summer's Eve Feminine Hygiene Products. When something's gone wrong and it's the smell of your thong. Summer's Eve. Douche. When your man's in a coma from your panty aroma. Summer's Eve. when your situation down south makes him breathe through his mouth.
Anyways, let's get back to the Player Hater podcast.
All right, straight. Well, yo, fellas, I appreciate you taking out time. And before we close out, if you have any Facebook, Twitter, any way you folks can get in contact with the individual, if you can toss that out for me, I greatly appreciate it.
You can reach me I'm on the Good Old Boys page. So if you want to talk to me, I'm on there. I think I'm on there more than anybody else. So just hit us up on Facebook, Good Old Boys Radio on Facebook. And, of course, G-O-O-D-O-L-E. B-O-Y-S radio, and on Twitter at the same thing, at the Good Old Boys. Make sure you get that O-L-E in there or you'll get taken to some white redneck page.
Yeah, and if you want to get at me, just holler at me through Grand Wiz, because he's not going to be able to perform well in the bedroom, so I'll just, you know, make up for his shortcomings.
Yeah.
And if you get linked up to any of us through Facebook is probably the best way to do it, because I got a Twitter. I can't even tell you what the handle is, though. That's how little I'm on there. So, like, but I am, like, on the Good Old Boys Facebook page quite a bit. Not as much as Wiz, but that's the best way to get in contact with all four of us.
Now it's time to wrap with Corbin Macklin about getting robbed and people who find Jesus.
Man, I got jumped and robbed for $2 once, man.
Damn, which hurt worse? The fact that they only took $2 or the fact you got jumped and robbed?
The fact that I got jumped a block away from my house. And, like, niggers was outside watching, you know, like, I'm talking about, like, niggers was literally, like, you know, they was coming out the house or whatever they was doing. Like, I'm walking down the street, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, I'm bleeding, and, you know, my pride and everything is, you know, like, more fucked up than anything. Like, I'm talking about, like, nigga got, like, how it basically happened was, you know, nigga snuck up on me from behind, you know, caught me one time, like, you know how you get snuck, you just want to drop, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I went to the ground, and, you know, like, I'm in the fucking fetal position, and, like, it's like a couple niggas jumped out of car, you know, I don't know where the other nigga came from, you know, like, I'm just getting stomped the fuck out, and, like, the saddest part is that, you know, they was like, $2, nigga. You know, they all like, where the money at? I'm like, nigga, I ain't got no money. And they like, $2, nigga. And it's like, yeah, nigga, how do you feel that between, like, four, five motherfuckers, y'all just got $2?
Ah, could you send a piece?
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that was very lucrative, you know? That was a very lucrative venture there. But, yeah, like, getting jumped is like, the only thing I really have to fear in life, because, like, niggas talk shit. Like, you know, Napoleon complexes are a thing.
Yeah.
So, niggas talk hella shit to me, like, all the time. But I kind of just sit back and I just be like, yeah, you talking, but you not finna pull it, though. And they never do. And it could be a nigga bigger than me, you know, like, fatter than me and shit. You know what I'm saying? It could be a dude around my height. And they'll still be like, well, he got reach, though. And so what that's tantamount to is, like, you got this big-ass nigga talking about my reach. It's like, nigga, you around my size. What you talking about reach?
No, right.
You know what I'm saying? So what you saying is, man, it might be kind of an even fight. You know what I'm saying? So basically, just off my size alone, like I said, all I really got to worry about is getting jumped. Like, it ain't, like, I got to go back to, like, high school for the last time a nigga tried me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Niggas have wanted to try me, you know what I'm saying? But I haven't had a fight since I was in high school, man. Like, because just in general, motherfuckers look at me and they go, do not want. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think that's something that motherfuckers, not think, I know motherfuckers do that shit on a daily, based on whatever. I mean, based on whatever. It can be your size and height, it can be just however they decide, whatever unit of measure they use to come to that decision. Yeah, same here. I haven't had a fight since high school. Not a fight. I mean, I do martial arts, so I spar all the time. But, I mean, a real fight with somebody who was, like, talking shit and then we got into it? Nah, not since high school. That's actually when I got jumped in high school for my motherfucking suede Pumas. I'll never forget that shit.
Damn.
Back in the day, yeah, I used to carry my good sneakers I would wear, and my gym sneakers were in my book bag. This particular day, I felt like flossing, so I wore my good sneakers out when I just left gym. I was like, I just left gym, and I'm going to wear my new Pumas. Big mistake. Motherfuckers were camped out waiting for a brother to come outside after school. As soon as I walked down the street, you know when you walk past a motherfucker and you can just tell something's about to jump off?
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, I had that feeling. I walked by these motherfuckers just by the way they were looking at me and sizing me up, and I was walking by myself. I knew something was about to go down. Religion, because I either read something or heard from somewhere that Ja Rule, you remember Ja Rule the rapper? Yeah, I heard that he had found Jesus, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that, and then I'll give you my opinion on the whole finding Jesus bullshit. How you feel about Ja Rule and just motherfuckers in general, finding Jesus?
Well, I feel like when it comes to religion, most people use it as a coping mechanism, as like, you know, they've suffered so much and it comforts them to know that there's a God who is above and beyond all of the things they suffer, you know, that type of shit. And then as far as death, it comforts people to believe that I can step outside, get my brains blown out, and I'm going to wake up with God and all my loved ones. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't go to church. I ain't read the Bible 11 and a half times. And I consider myself to be more spiritual than religious for such a irreverent motherfucker. And my thing is that I am a skeptic, you know? Like, I am an intellectual individual, so, you know, my intellect is going to question, you know, like, why do I believe in this? You know what I'm saying? What's the point? And we could do a whole podcast, I know you won't want to, but we could do a whole podcast just about, you know, the things that I've seen and experienced that are why I believe, and, you know, I got a blog about it titled Why I Believe. But I believe most people, you know, they believe in God on some, you know, auntie so-and-so go to church, so it's what we do in our family type shit, you know, like, grandma so-and-so and all the ancestors was this religion. Like, a lot of religion is like, you know, a racial, cultural type thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jewish is less a faith now and more a race, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are, you know, born Jews, you know what I'm saying? Like, some motherfucker named Akbar Shabazz Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? That motherfucker gonna be a Muslim, you know what I'm saying? So, to a certain extent, I don't respect that, because it's like, you don't even believe for no reason. You know what I'm saying? There's no reasoning behind it. Like, most motherfuckers, like I said, they find Jesus or whoever, you know, Muhammad, whatever, because they feel like they were born to, obligated to, you know, to fit in with their family and, you know, their circle and everything like that. Or, like I said, just for sheer, you know, man, I done been through so much, and you know what, when I think about it, Jesus was always there carrying me or some shit like that.
yeah, let's jump on that part of it right there, because my opinion about the whole finding Jesus shit, just as far as Ja Rule and motherfuckers in prison in general, is that shit is passé. They need to stop that shit. It just needs to stop today. Like, stop fucking finding Jesus, basically, is what it is. Nah, I mean, real fuck, because this is the way I feel. It's like, stop fucking finding Jesus, because logically and idealistically thinking, Jesus ain't lost, motherfucker. You lost. Find your motherfucking self. Jesus ain't lost. He's been in the same place since forever. So Jesus ain't lost. Stop fucking finding Jesus. And I'm playing the semantics right now. I know what they mean when they say found Jesus. But I just want you to stop. Yeah, I just want motherfuckers to stop finding Jesus. I don't have anything against religion and all that shit. But like you said, when motherfuckers are down and out, falling hard times, they got nowhere else to turn. It's like niggas in prison. Where they going? They going to Jesus. Leave Jesus the fuck alone.
Under perfection, affection, affection, affection. Iron sharpen iron, and men sharpen men, and all good things must come to an end, to an end, to an end, to an end. When I hear this, my sighs get tight. I grit down on my teeth with all my might. Play this only a night, only a night, only a night. I don't know if you don't know. But I'ma tell you like this, we all gotta go. And I know nobody gotta go like that, y'all, y'all. So you better.
Player hater mode is deactivated. Tune in next time for another episode. You can listen and download on Stitcher and Podomatic. You can follow on Twitter and visit the website www.theplayerhaterpodcast.com. So on behalf of haters worldwide, remember to keep your motherfucking hate up.
Telling you, you got a whole lot to deal with in this world of all reverse. Like they used to talk proper, but now you're cursed. The sun used to shine from day to day. Now the whole universe is filled with gray. No friends, children, family, nor wife. And disrespect is the way of life. You wanna go say no, don't need no airfare. Just close your eyes and then you're there. But if you go, come right and exact. And remember, there's no way back. So close your eyes, live in hate and despise all those girls and all those guys. Who told you you never had stars in your eyes? This is your destiny, rise.
But yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. Ja Rule may have had Jesus with him while he was fucking groupies and smoking blunts and partying. Yeah, I'm sure he had Jesus with him that whole time. But now that he's irrelevant and has more time to spend with Jesus, so now he's turned to Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Jesus, I ain't got the money for the hydroponic herb no more, so.
Yeah, sorry I ignored you back in the day, Jesus, while I was fucking them groupies, but now that I ain't got shit, now we can hang out. It's like that friend that you ignore. You know, it's just like that friend that you ignore when you balling, you got it going on, got a good job, brand new car, new house. You ballin', so you got new friends. See, that's in your circle. You forget about your old friends. Not saying you do, I'm saying motherfuckers do this shit. And then when you lose all that shit and you try to go back to the old friends, they're like looking at you like, motherfucker, you ain't gonna have nothing to do with us when we weren't in your circle, so fuck you type shit. It's one of those types.